At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU's learning environments are designed for supportive networking and collaboration. With over 330 academic programs, GCU provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to Real Life Real Crime Daily for Wednesday, June 7th, and I'm Jim Chapman.
And I'm Woody Overton.
And I'm Mike Agavino. Hump Day.
Hump Day.
Who do you think named
Who are you going to hump today, Woody?
I told you every day in my house is
now that you got the now that you got the cement pond and the moat, you get every day is hump day.
You know I'm in English.
He's got a big old cement pond.
I come
pond.
To St. Charles Avenue in York. There you
go.
We got a small. We just have a little bitty cement pond over there. Nothing like that.
Hump day. Who are you humping today?
Myself. And I plan to do it good.
You got to stay in touch with yourself.
Right? stay within yourself.
Do either of y'all know what Rosetta Stone actually is?
Some type of ancient Greek thing or something?
Well, for inquiring minds that want to know, Rosetta Stone is an ancient Egyptian stone bearing inscriptions in several languages and scripts.
Yeah.
So now it all makes sense.
Hey, the deal was like 20 plus years ago when I was in the Spanish, I had looked into getting it. And of course, I couldn't afford it at the time. But now our listeners can get a hell of a deal.
40 languages to choose from. The
lifetime.
I mean, it's so easy to just jump on there, get in there, and take one of these modules. It takes you like 5 minutes to do one. So in like 20 minutes, you can knock out two or three of them and move on to the next. And it's really logical the way they do it. It won't let me manipulate it at all, which is good. Cause you know, I wanted to get right to the Italian curse words and start constructing sentences that I can curse people out. And
they don't start out with like pencil. They give you phrases and things that you can actually use.
Pencil.
Right. Yeah. But it's all,
Pluma.
It's all interactive. And so you're repeating the accents, you're repeating the words in sentence, and then you're identifying from pictures what matches a phrase and matching that phrase to the right picture. Yeah,
it's super. That's the reason they're the best.
They should have taught language in school this way.
Exactly.
It was so much harder learning Spanish in school the way they taught it then.
Let's get into news and look.
Prime time, people.
Before we really get into, the bulk of our stories today, we want to mention some things. If you listen to Real Life Real Crime Original yesterday, you heard Woody. Yeah. Sadly, Corporal Kelly has died in the hospital after that shooting. Weeks after the shooting in the shopping center in Denham Springs. There was a couple of statements released, one by Sheriff Jason Ard, another by the police chief for Denham Springs, Rodney Walker. Woody went over those yesterday on Real Life Real Crime Original, so we won't rehash that. But we do have some funeral arrangements that have come up since then. His service will be held Thursday, June 8th, and it's going to be at Healing Place Church, which is at 19202 Highland Road in Baton Rouge. Visitation will be from 9:30 to 11:30. The service will be at 11:30 with a processional to the Denham Springs Memorial laid to rest. So in lieu of flowers, they are asking you make donations to Behind the Line, which is the police union for this area.
Yeah, and also this weekend, the Shin Brewery here in downtown Denham Springs, the Denham Springs Police Department is doing another fundraiser, and we are trying everything we can to rearrange so we can at least put in an appearance. But Sean was a great lifer. He was here in the studio. I missed him that day, he and his partner, but Jim got to, they came by and hung out for a bit and everything, and just a great guy and a grandfather and a father and a husband and a friend and whatever. But rest in peace, brother.
Amen.
Hero.
All right, so we're going to bring you a couple updates. 2 weeks ago, we brought you some breaking news on a shooting in Ponchatoula where one Casey Halliford was suspected of shooting his brother, Ryan Halliford, who was a pastor at Holy Family Cross Catholic Church in Port Allen, as well as two other siblings. At the time, that story was just breaking. We didn't have a whole lot of details. Well, we've got some details. I've had a lot of people ask how he's doing. Kieran Chawla, Unfiltered with Kieran.
That's our girl, Kieran.
Yeah, it's our girl. She actually released an update on her site yesterday. The pastor is recovering, although he's not 100%. In the article, it stated, "I'm not mad at Casey. I don't hate Casey. I wish it never happened. I hope this seriously ends up somehow with us being on the same side of eternity. I do believe in mercy for God for myself, for him, for everybody involved." Ryan said he was discharged from the hospital a week after the shooting and his health has improved, but he's not 100% yet. Right. They reconstructed the vein on his left leg, so it kind of holds a little more fluid. So he's working on that. He thinks he's going to be able to get the staples out of his chest where they reconstructed that vein this week. After that, the plan is to start physical therapy. Ryan said he had a conversation with Casey Halliford at the trailer and said, "Casey, you want me and the other siblings to help you more?" Casey was struggling a little bit. And he said, I need you to step it up. I need you to step it up a little bit. Casey then said, "Well, I can't." So Ryan replied, "Well, we're going to have to figure something else out." And that's kind of what started the incident. Casey then went and got a gun from the bedroom and allegedly shot all three of his siblings before running into a nearby wooded area with his fiance, 19-year-old Ariane Williams. The confrontation resulted in Casey allegedly shooting his older brother 8 times across the gut, chest, leg, and back. Casey Halliford was charged with 3 counts of attempted first-degree murder and 1 count of illegal discharge of a weapon, while Williams was charged with 3 counts of principal to attempted first-degree murder. So shout out to Kieran Chawla for kind of catching the story.
Good coverage on that. And I figure there'd be more to that story.
Absolutely.
And, you know, people like that amaze me how they can forgive so quickly, like the young boy last week in the shooting. And I listened to that clip of him.
His whole interview on Good Morning America.
And about how you want to be a police officer and want to be a doctor and about God. And that was pretty amazing. So, y'all, let me take you to Texas. And police arrested 8 people for alleged involvement in a smash and grab operation over 50 ATMs. Police have arrested 8 individuals for allegedly burglarizing more than 50 ATM machines in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. The Plano Police Department said, and I've been there, y'all, said investigators and members of SWAT arrested 8 suspects as they were stealing an ATM from a 7-Eleven in Denton, Texas. And that's where my baby sister's a judge. Prior to the arrest, detectives with the Plano Police Department received information about an ATM burglary that happened on 14th Street in Plano just before 6:30 a.m. on May 25th. During the burglary, 5 suspects backed a pickup truck into the front of the store, smashing out the window. The suspects then wrapped a chain around the machine and pulled the ATM out of the convenience store while the clerk stood behind the counter. Can you imagine what that dude was thinking? The clerk. But police said the suspects got away with an unknown amount of cash, though the damage to the building was expected to cost the business thousands of dollars to repair. Suspects fled the scene in a pickup truck, and that was discovered to have been stolen out of Garland, Texas, and later found and abandoned at a nearby apartment development. Investigators developed several leads from the burglary on May 25th, including identification of several suspected vehicles and an understanding of the methods the thieves used to steal the ATMs. Well, that's pretty obvious. I mean, they've done it on all of them. Is, you know, and you see these all the time now, people just smashing a wall, wrapping a chain around it. But most people don't know there's a shit ton of cash in those machines, right? So
detectives, they must weigh a shitload. What do you need 8 freaking people for?
You need 8 people to pick one of those up.
Yeah.
It's like Wow. Heavier than heavy. Detectives learned about numerous smash and grab incidents across the Dallas area, which results in a multi-jurisdictional investigation involving a whole bunch of departments, including even the 7-Eleven assistant protection manager assistant investigation, but ultimately led to the arrest of Anthony Dwayne Turner, Corteva Gene Jackson, and Denge J. Jacob. don't move this. Jacoby Derrick, Dominic Marquise Childress, Joseph George Milton Turner, Leroy Alvin Walls, Lewis Edward Coleman, and Marlon Briscoe. It seems like, you know what? It seems like these guys were part of a professional gang, and you know they knew what they were doing. They were perfecting their craft, but ultimately, like Jim said, you're on camera 70 or 80 times a day somewhere.
No doubt.
And they put it all together. But they're in Denton County Jail. Let me call my sister real quick and see if she's had them for arraignment.
You know, she's a judge. It's interesting. I actually, not too long, well, it's been a little while, but probably about a year ago, I was going down Range Avenue, which is a major thoroughfare in Denham Springs, right. And I see police all up and down by this bank. And, of course, out of curiosity, I drove in and checked out what they were doing. And the ATM machine was literally, it looked like a bomb hit it.
Yeah.
And come to find out, two guys wrapped a chain around the exterior of an ATM at a bank right. in the middle of the night and tried to jerk it out with yeah. like an F-350. They never could get the thing out. That's how strong those things are. They ended up, the police somehow found out, chased them, and there was a big shooting. But, they couldn't get that sucker out with a chain and an F-350. I saw a
video where they wrapped the chain around and it ripped the rear end off a car.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I mean, the FBI buddy of mine, Jeff Meffin, he said, FBI here in Baton Rouge, told me years ago, he said, well, Woody, if ever was one crime that I was going to commit and I knew I could get away with it, it would be bank robbery. But the problem with that is the average bank robbery only nets like $3,500. These machines are like $50,000 in cash up. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, I didn't think it was anywhere near
money.
There.
Big
but,
money.
But yeah. Eight people on a crew. I mean, that's catch one, you're going to get the other seven.
Yes,
I mean,
and somebody's going to talk.
All you got to do is get one of their cars. It just seems like it'd be so much easier.
Think about
the
ATMs, the ones that just don't print a receipt where you go to the store thing. If it's $50,000 and they're only making $3 a transaction, the company's not making that much money. They have to put a lot of money into them to make their money back, to make a profit, at least I would say.
Yeah. Well,
crazy. I hate a thief, so I hope my sister hangs her ass.
I'm sure she will. Let's go to upstate New York,
the home of the Ago.
Where, believe it or not, a group. What did you just say?
The home of the Ago.
Home of the Ago. No, the Ago would have been from Long Island, not upstate New York, but.
Home of the state of the Ago.
Yes, the home state of Ago. Yeah. I don't know about the Ago. A group of teens beheaded a young mother with quadruplets. Her name was Faye, and she had recently given birth to four babies. In the town of Malneas, New York, Faye was somewhat of an icon. These three teens not only brutally murdered Faye, but they abducted her babies as well.
What?
The love affair between the town of Malneas, its residents, and Faye started over a decade ago when the beautiful mute swan and her mate, Manny.
I was wondering why I didn't hear about this.
And her mate, Manny, were introduced to the prominent Malneas pond as an ornamental species. The village of Malneas carries a swan insignia on its welcome sign, and the swans have become the town's symbols. The swans have been part of this village for well over 100 years, the mayor said. We're known for our swans. Hunting swans is legal in some U.S. states, but not.
I was going to say in New York. Down here that they ate them. And the one thing I've never cooked is a swan.
Not legal to shoot them in New York. Police say Faye and her four baby swans, which are known as cygnets, went missing on Saturday, May 28th, but weren't officially discovered missing until Monday. After notice went out about the missing birds, a concerned citizen spotted two baby swans in a store in the nearby town of Salina. That person called authorities. A young worker at that Salina store soon confessed to taking part in the abduction of the swans along with two other teenagers. The remaining two swans were found at one of the other teens' house in Syracuse. The teens had climbed over a fence that protects the pond area sometime during the overnight hours, Saturday night, Sunday morning. They grabbed Faye and they quickly beheaded the defenseless swan. Mm. And because she was nesting, she didn't put up a fight. I guess when they are, when they're being mom to newborns, they're docile. And so they grabbed her and chopped her head off. The three teens then brought the headless swan back to one of their aunt's houses, and she prepared it for Memorial Day dinner.
There you go.
So they ate Faye for Memorial Day dinner. Mm-hmm. Two of the suspects, age 16 and 17, were released to their parents because they were juveniles. The third, who's 18, is awaiting arraignment. Mute swans mate for life. They have one partner for life. And so Faye's partner, Manny, was expected to become combative due to his grieving and possibly become a threat to the cygnets if they were reintroduced. So plans were put in place to relocate Manny. So now he's lost his wife, he's lost his kids, and he's somewhere else. The mayor is hoping that two of the four cygnets will eventually mate and the town will be able to get back to the way things used to be and they'll have swans again in the pond. But upstate teens beheading.
I thought it was like
beheading Faye. The
real, but I got. I mean, it's the swan for them.
Icon of Melnius.
You know, now I wonder what swan tastes like. Do they fry?
Don't do it. Put it in a sauce. Don't do it, Woody. I don't know if this is one of the states where it's legal to hunt them. Is it? It
doesn't matter if they cut the head off.
Well, no. I know New York is, and I'm talking about Louisiana.
Can you go do it in Louisiana? No, I've never. I've never seen a swan down here. It's lived for like in a zoo or something.
So does this, but the sadness of the story, does it make you at all question your hobby of killing defenseless duckies?
Everything I kill, I eat.
You ever ate duck?
They ate Faye.
Duck is delicious.
Oh my gosh.
That wasn't their shit to eat.
I need to bring him a duck gumbo.
Pound for pound costs more than gold. That's a rich man's sport.
You need to bring him some duck gumbo.
I need to go to that mansion on St. Charles and cook him some good shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why don't we do some duck on the Traeger?
Yeah, we'll definitely do some duck on the Traeger.
Definitely.
I'll eat it. I just don't think I can shoot one.
Well, we'll find out. The hunt season will be upon us in a couple months.
It's springtime, boys. The grass is green, the birds are chirping, and the kids will be out of school soon. That makes it the perfect time to plan a family vacation. And we know from the stories we cover that this is not exactly the time to take the family to the Caribbean. You don't want to end up in the middle of some cartel drug shootout. So this year, it's time to take an international journey. And of course, a big international trip is just one reason to learn a new language with Rosetta Stone. You might have a different one. Maybe you want to connect with family or friends living overseas. Maybe you want to acquire a new skill for work or better understand a certain culture. Rosetta Stone has helped me have fun with my mother and at least have partial conversations in Italian after only a few lessons.
Rosetta Stone is the trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered. Spanish, French, Italian, German, Korean, Chinese, Japanese, Dutch, Arabic, Polish, and many more. Rosetta Stone immerses you in many ways. No English translation, so you really learn to speak, listen, and think in that language. Intuitive process, you pick up a language naturally. Designed for long-term retention. Speech recognition, the true accent feature is like having a personal trainer for your accent. Rosetta Stone is convenient and an amazing value.
That's right, Woody. A lifetime membership has all 25 languages for any and all trips and language needs. That's lifetime access to all 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Real Life Real Crime and Daily Show listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today.
Sayonara.
Do you guys know what May 12th is? Sunday, May 12th?
Mama's Day.
That would be correct. It's Mother's Day. So let me ask you, do you basically get your mom the same gift every year for Mother's Day? Maybe some flowers, some chocolates, maybe a robe or a framed photo, boring stuff, right?
Right.
Well, let me tell you about something that's totally cool and different from Mother's Day that will never wilt, spoil, or put an extra 10 pounds around her waist. I'm talking about MyLifeInABook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty unique. Cool, right?
Right.
Here's how it works. Every week, MyLifeInABook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you wish to ask. Your mom can either type a response to the email, or she can record her voice if she prefers to do that, or she can do both. And MyLifeInABook.com then compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book as well as an audiobook. And if you want, and she's up to the task technically, you know, the audiobook is a great extra thing to be able to do. Imagine discovering stories about her youth, adventures, and the challenges she overcame. This book becomes a legacy, something you and your future generations can treasure. Your mom's given you a lifetime of stories. This is kind of your chance to give her a way to share them. Every family's a little bit different, and in my family, we love to give each other a really hard time. So I've taken the approach in doing this of asking my mom to comment on some of those family moments that might be a bit embarrassing to other family members. Last week, my question was, Mom, did you feel guilty that day you hit me over the head with your wooden clog and Dad had to take me to the hospital for 8 stitches? Mom's response, back in the day, I was the disciplinarian of the house. And when you were 8 years old, you refused to get out of Nancy's, that's my sister's, plastic kiddie pool. I told you 10 times to get out of the damn pool. You didn't listen, so I chased you around the yard. And when you slipped, I nailed you right on the head. That was the last time you got in that kiddie pool. Of course, Dad had to lie to the ER and tell him that that you fell on your head, but I nailed you good. The entire process with My Life in a Book is simple, and in the end, Mom will have a great keepsake that can remain in your family for generations.
Check out MyLifeInABook.com and use code RLRC at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's MyLifeInABook.com and use code RLRC for 10% off today. So we're going to talk about Australia for a minute.
We love our Aussies.
They got some, and we got a ton of fans out there.
One of our leading countries.
Right? Down under.
He's doing it again. Now he's stealing international story.
Two of my dream team moderators are from Australia.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we've got a large fan base there.
And real quick, the first swap I ever did for Real Life Real Crime, the first promo swap was with the number one true crime show out of Australia. He gave me like 15 seconds then. I can't remember his name now. But anyway, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
That's all right. All right. So Australia is concerned about something called chroming. So y'all may not be familiar with chroming, but, you know, in the United States, it's also becoming a major issue as we research this. This chroming trend on social media has already led to a number of deaths with young people.
Yep.
But what is the trend? That most people probably haven't heard of this. So you're literally inhaling paints and solvents to get high. The problem is you have acetone in there, formaldehyde's in there. Right. Dr. Mike Siegel was quoted as saying it's called volatile organic compounds, or VOCs as we call it in the paint business, for a reason. Oh, yeah. It irritates your skin. It gets in your lungs. You can have seizures. You can have a coma. And we're occasionally seeing people die. Now, at a glance, this trend appears to be a variation on the decades-old trend of huffing and sniffing. What do you used to do? Huff glue.
I smelled the glue, but I've dealt with people that were huffing, and then they got the
shit. I knew people that ate glue.
They got the paint all over the face. You get out of the car, and you stop in the gal, and then they got gold. Gold was one of the favorite colors that they did it with. I guess gold had more, get them higher than that. But get out of the car, and the whole face is gold. I'm like, I'm pretty sure you're going to fucking jail.
Yeah. So despite the trend kind of existing for a few years, the concern here is searches for chroming spiked big time on May 14th. As a matter of fact, was the largest spike they've ever seen for chroming.
Video about it.
Yeah, well, Google Trends is a platform you can go to and kind of see what's trending in the world, and that is trending heavy with young people. The trend has gained particular attention in Australia after a 13-year-old was allegedly killed while chroming, killed herself, crazy. I guess you could say. Yeah. Chroming has a broader definition, but the name arose from the act of sniffing chrome-based paint. I'm going to call bullshit on that. There's no such thing as chrome-based paint.
What do they mean by
that? Solvent-based paint with chrome in it.
Chrome like the metal, like you chrome your trailer
like
hitch?
The metal, yeah. So some paints, they have actual aluminum in the paint, aluminum chips, and that's how you get the shiny.
Oh, like sparkles.
Yeah. Like if you want it to look like aluminum. So, but it's actually solvent-based paint.
Mike after a night at the strip club.
That's right.
Yeah.
He got the glitter.
Yeah.
So it has become an issue, and I have some experience because I was in the paint manufacturing side of life for so long.
Right.
These chemicals are serious business, and I've seen people. I had a situation that I'll tell you real quick where I was painting a bathroom. I was refinishing a bathroom sink, and you know, sinks over time, you lose that pop.
Right.
And you can buy these what they call tub and tile kits, and it's basically a white part A and a white part B. That part B is your hardener. The part A is the base. The base has the acetone in it.
Right.
So I had a little small bathroom that I was refinishing that sink in there. It had no ventilation, and I knew better. But I'm like, I'm being here like 5 minutes because you're spraying it out of a little spray deal. And I hold my breath. And I spray that thing, and I spray it, and I got to the point I had to take a breath. So I figured, what's one breath going to hurt? So I took a breath.
Yeah.
Almost passed out.
Really?
Saw stars. That one breath.
That's the same stuff that these kids.
Same stuff. Should have been wearing a respirator. I wasn't. So another quick situation. I had an employee one time that was doing a demo, and he was showing a painter how to spray out oil-based paint, which is thinned with mineral spirits, which is not as strong as acetone, but strong. He finishes that, and he had what we call overspray on his face, and so he had to wipe that off. So what's this genius do? He takes a whole thing of acetone and pours it on a rag. And then he's going to hold his breath, right, and wipe his face with it. Yeah. Well, somewhere in there, he took a breath, passed out in 2 seconds. 2 seconds flat. Yeah. I mean, he was on the floor. So that's how serious. It don't take much to make you pass out.
If I don't mention this, the lifers will hate me. And the story, what happened to Jackie, and long story short, at the end of it, after the fact, we found out that she had been injected in the back of her head with a cage injector needle with acetone in it, her stepdad. And the acetone.
Yeah.
She lived for a year in a vegetative state.
It is absolutely serious stuff. I had
it was untraceable. They couldn't even figure it out for the longest time.
I had a painter one time that's since been murdered, actually. His name was Ed Hall.
Yeah.
And
people from East Fleet.
Woody may be doing a story on him at some point. But Ed Hall was cleaning out a spray rig one time, and when you clean them out, you run thinner through them, and it's very high pressure, and you just hold down that nozzle, and it shoots out. You're supposed to hold it like in the grass or whatever, or in an empty bucket. He didn't think the pressure was coming out good, so he ran his hand over it and shot paint thinner into his skin, into his hand. He had to have I hate to say this, but it was almost like he had a lobster hand after that. He only had like two fingers left. They had to amputate everything else. That fast it can happen.
And these kids are huffing.
Well, I mean, what about any of this would any kid find, exciting?
If you don't die, you get high.
Is it?
What kind of a high is it?
Well, when I took that one breath in that bathroom and I went outside, I was higher than a kite.
Is it relatively inexpensive? Like they used to huff spray paint because it was cheap.
Thinner's, it's relatively speaking, it's expensive, but you can get a gallon of thinner for less than $20, and that probably lasts them a little while if they were huffing it. Now, that being said, there's a lot of regulations in a lot of states where you have to check ID every time someone buys thinner. But Louisiana is not like that. You have to buy a certain amount before you have to check. So if someone comes in, they want to buy, because acetone can also be used to make other drugs.
Meth.
Is it kind of like doing whippets, like nitrous kind of high? Or
I've never been high off
that only lasts a couple seconds.
Yeah, that only lasts.
Really swim. Someone
if it ain't alcohol, ain't dealt with it.
You feel like you look at yourself for a couple seconds and then you're back down.
Yeah. Yeah, so.
Oh, Jim, we'll bring some in. You can do a segment on the show.
Hey, have y'all parents watch out for it? Because licking the Bluebell ice cream and sticking it back in the thing. If it's on social media, some kids are going to try it.
They've been doing it on TikTok.
That's what I'm saying. Somebody's going to see that and think, oh, they got this many views. Let me do it.
So if you hear the term chroming, beware. From your kids.
Yeah, good story, man.
And that's chroming.
Yes, sir. Yep.
That's crazy. Well, to tell you, somebody else who sniffs, but it's not a kid. A Border Patrol canine helped agents sniff out $2 million worth of our favorite drug, y'all, fentanyl, during a traffic stop in Arizona last week. The seizure happened at a checkpoint along I-8 near Yuma, the chief agent said. The narcotics totaled more than 192 pounds, which is enough to kill 48 million people. The amount of fentanyl seized during the traffic stop was more than the total amount of fentanyl seized during the entirety of the fiscal year of 2022 in the Yuma sector. McGurk Daniels shared photos that show packets of the deadly drug apparently hidden in the car seats. Then another photo showed our canine hero in the front of the vehicle after the seats were opened and searched. The dog's name was not shared with the media. Fentanyl was also found hidden inside the gas tank of the car. I've heard of the canines going down with it. I mean, I don't know how they train them from the distance, and we've talked about it numerous times before. Like Billy Amy just got a speck of it on him doing a car search, and it dropped him of an overdose.
I don't know how
a dog can do it, but fentanyl's fucked up the whole
drug trade. And just those numbers that you could kill 48 million people with just $2 million worth of fentanyl.
That's why it's so. And my little buddy died. About a month ago now, he took a Xanax, what he thought was Xanax, and it had some fentanyl in it. And what they do is they use the fentanyl to cut everything else. But as long as they don't use too much, then you get high as hell. You don't know if you were taking a Xanax or some ecstasy or whatever. But the problem is these people that are doing the fentanyl cutting or stepping on is what they call it. They are not chemists. And you just happen to get it right. You're lucky, but then, it's bad shit. I don't know how in the world. If you know, back in the day, rehypnols, the best anti-hangover pill ever. You could take one of those before you go to bed, and in 4 hours you wake up and you're totally rested and fresh, no hangover, right? But then people got to where they were used for date rape drugs and shit like that and knocking people out. And they banned that worldwide. You can't find it on the dark net or anywhere. Why can't they do that with fentanyl? They need to. It's a fucking epidemic.
Well, it is a huge problem. It makes
crack cocaine, meth, everything that's heroin, everything that came along over the years, fentanyl makes them look like M&Ms.
Well, you do the math, and I always have to do the math. With $2,000 worth of fentanyl, you could kill 250,000 people.
But imagine.
I mean, that's crazy.
The small amount of fentanyl you could take on a batch of, let's say you're pressing your own Xanabars, right? You could stretch that shit out forever. If you could turn that $2 million into $100 million.
It's unbelievable. Well,
and that's, look, that's and, the problem.
Right. It's law of supply and demand. But people are not trying to make it political, but they get off their fucking ass. And they need to bring the war to this that they brought to rohypnols back in the day.
Well, and they need to bring it to China because it's it's
wherever they need to bring
it. It's China money and it's China killing young Americans, which is a good thing for them, and it's cartels care about money.
Wherever it comes from, they need to stop it.
That is horrible.
Yep.
I'm going to take you to South America. We rarely go to South America.
No, you are the international expert.
Yep. The correspondent.
Correspondent. International
we
correspondent.
Have rarely. Now, if I don't know.
Although I took him. I know you did. I took him to Australia today. Still,
but that was okay.
Mike's pissed. That,
because you knew.
But I gave him that choice.
But you know about paint. But Ago is our RRC Daily's international correspondent official.
International man of mystery.
Payback is a bitch. We're going to go to the country of Guyana, which is not Ghana.
I was going to say in Africa again.
No.
We just talked about this shit last week, didn't we? Boom. Did you just get back from vacation there?
No, that would not be my first choice for vacation, but it does. It borders both Venezuela and Brazil, to give you an idea where the country is. But this is a pretty shitty story. It's a story about a teenage girl who ended up killing 19 people in her school dorm with a fire she started. Wow. So, and this girl was 15 years old, and she's being charged with maliciously killing 19 children by setting fire to her school. The Associated Press reported that Guyana National Security Advisor Gerald Gouveia said the dormitory administrator previously locked the doors to the female students so that they wouldn't sneak out. So all of the kids in this dorm were locked in. Mm-hmm. Tragically, a 5-year-old boy who died in there was this administrator's son. While the total number of injuries was not released, about 13 students were transferred to hospitals with injuries. One victim was also taken to a burn center. One was even flown all the way to Staten Island University Hospital in New York to get the kind of treatment they needed for the severity of their injuries. According to a statement from Guyana Fire and Rescue Service, the fire ravaged Medea Secondary School in Western Guyana just before midnight on the 21st of May, killing 18 female students and 1 5-year-old boy. The teenage girl appeared in court virtually on Monday and was charged as an adult for the 19 murders. She was not allowed to enter a plea to the charges at that point. She'll make another court appearance on July 5th, when it will be determined if the trial can begin. Investigators allege the teen started the fire in the dorm bathroom after her cell phone was confiscated.
Mm. Absolutely.
So even, you know, we think that teens in the United States are crazy with the mobile phones. Well, apparently, even in South America, somehow someone could get that crazed after having their mobile phone taken away. She faces life in prison if convicted. At the time of the fire, there were 56 female students present in the concrete and wooden building, the fire department reported. The windows of the dorm were also barred and other doors were locked. Many of the bodies were burned beyond recognition. The DNA samples were sent to the Icahn School of Medicine in New York for identification. They're still waiting for some of those, but obviously people know who lost their loved
ones.
Another
fire story and the worst way to go.
We've been locked in a confined space like that, where people are outside knowing you're trapped in, trying to get you out. And they
claw marks in the cement where they're trying to dig their way out on it. That's horrible. Can't imagine.
Bad news.
A Texas man is facing two new murder charges after he allegedly called police to confess to killing his roommate and another woman. Investigators are investigating whether the previously convicted killer could be linked to other cases. Mm-hmm. Raul Meza Jr. also allegedly may have killed again if he were not apprehended this week. This by Austin Police Detective Patrick Reed. Meza told police Tuesday night that he was ready and prepared to kill again and was looking forward to doing it. Meza, who's 62, was apprehended Monday for the murder of his roommate, 80-year-old Jesse Fraga, who was stabbed to death at their home this month, and the murder of a woman in 2019. Fraga was found dead with a belt around his neck when police responded to the house on May 20th for a welfare check requested by his family, who hadn't heard from him in over a week. Austin Police Sergeant Nathan Sexton said at a news conference. Now, Fraga's niece told police that Meza moved out on May 12th, which was the day Fraga was last seen alive. On May 24th, Meza called Austin police and allegedly confessed to his murder. He also allegedly implicated himself in a woman's murder from several years ago. Reed, who answered Meza's confession phone call, said Meza told him that he was released from prison in 2016 and I end up murdering a lady soon after. Sexton said Austin police found only one case that met the parameters that had been set out by Meza. In the phone call, the murder of Gloria Lofton, who was strangled in May of 2019. Reed said Meza shared details that had not been released to the public, which is what he, that's a lot of, they hold stuff back to find out if these people are legit. They get a lot of fake confessions, y'all, with these serial, especially in these serial killer cases. DNA recovered from the Lofton scene was also linked to Meza. Boom. But it wasn't until Meza called police that he was charged with Lofton's murder. Meza was already a convicted killer, y'all. In 1982, he pled guilty to the murder of an 8-year-old girl. Wow. In the wake of the new murder charges, police have now identified multiple cold cases that have a similar MO, and they're looking, obviously, into those cases.
Yeah, he didn't just stop killing.
Right. Police said there are between 8 and 10 cases that fit similar circumstances. He's killed how many people? We don't know, right, the police say. As for the 8 or 10 additional cases, which they are now investigating, Meza said the investigation is ongoing, and detectives, they're, of course, following all leads. Now, we've talked several times about Lady Bird Lake, yep. Woody Overton. Yep.
And I said it's a serial killer, I guarantee it.
First time we talked about it, that's exactly what came out of Woody Overton's mouth. Well, you may be wondering, this is awful close to Lady Bird Lake. Right. So what did the police say about that? They said, I can't say that this guy did anything at Lady Bird Lake. I can't even say for sure there's a serial killer at Lady Bird Lake. Right. But what it looks like to me is that there's there are suspicious deaths at Lady Bird Lake. And I think that when you have a pronounced, up-close, in-your-face serial killer bragging to you about his murders, you need to see if he was at Lady Bird Lake.
Right.
Sounds like common sense, right? Right. So Meza was recently staying at a hotel off of Highway 35 and may have surrendered in order to get food and shelter. So this is probably why he called the police, they're thinking. At prison, he gets 3 hots and a cot.
Yeah, and he's no stranger to prison. He was down from killing an 8-year-old girl. How you get out on that, I don't know. But
that's right. The Lady Bird Lake deaths have involved men in their 30s who have been drinking on Rainy Street and later found dead in the water. However, police say they do not suspect foul play in any of them. And finally, although these cold cases are still under investigation and evidence is being analyzed, at this time there's no evidence or allegations of foul play at the lake. Authorities have increased safety measures around the lake. And, of course, you know, they have these press conferences where they say walk with a partner, and if you see someone you don't recognize,
how do they not suspect foul play with that number of people in that period of time? I don't understand that.
That's a good question, Woody.
What was I'm sorry. My mama's texting.
Mama always trumps the show. How could the police be saying that they don't suspect foul play when you have this outsized number of people in the same spot being found?
I think I said this before. They damn well know what's going on, but they don't want to put for a couple of reasons. They don't want to put the public in a panic. Number two, they don't want to scare off the dude from doing what he's doing because they think they have a chance to catch it. I'm going to tell you something, and I've said this before and I'll say it again. I just got a message from my buddy, the APD, Austin PD, like 2 days ago. Absolutely, in my mind, and look, I got friends in law enforcement all throughout the United States, and APD is one of the highest, if not the highest paid police department in the United States of America. And those guys do a jam up job. And I'm not talking about state police and all that or federal agencies. They know what they're doing. They're not, you know, one of these departments that don't handle cases like this. I know not serial killer cases, but they're going to catch them. And this guy, they did a good job on him.
And the interesting thing about this guy is he doesn't have a whole lot of the characteristics that serial killers typically have. He's 62. Mm-hmm. Usually they're in their heyday between 25 and 35. Mm-hmm. He kills both sexes, male and female. Right. Usually they stick to one or the other. You know, it's, every now and then you get one like that.
You know, we say that, and it's because of two different types of profiles, preferential and situational and all that, and they usually have characteristics falling underneath the same ones. But sometimes, every once in a while, you get one. Not everybody is going to fit in, right?
Right.
90% fit in, it helps them, and profiles only help them to develop a possible MO or identity on these serial killers. But every once in a while, you get somebody from far out left field across
the
all
he just kills areas, everybody. Right? Yeah, he don't care.
Not the first one to turn himself in, though. In East Feliciana Parish, Ryan Sharp shot all the people. They've never caught his ass. And he's very good friends with my dear friends. But he turned himself in. For whatever reason. So.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
All right, well, moving on. Now, y'all go to Vegas much?
Used to go a ton.
Yeah,
been a couple times, not much.
Last year, I spent 2 weeks there.
Two straight weeks?
Well, I spoke at two different conferences, and they were back to back, but I spent a lot of time in Vegas.
That's 9 days longer than my Vegas.
Oh, I know it's horrible. I don't knock it. If you've never been, go blow it out once in Vegas, whatever. But I used to have to go a shit ton for work and stuff beyond last year. I'm talking about like way longer than I want to stay. But you ever say the area?
Yeah.
Aria. Yeah, very nice. You say Aria, I say area.
the owners and their marketing also say Aria.
They got it wrong.
They got it wrong. We'll let them know.
Let me tell you a story about a lady. You ever had a lady of the evening approach you in the hotel? I'm going to be honest with you.
I don't think so.
I'm talking about like, I was sitting down.
Are you questioning whether they were legitimately attracted to me? You saying that these weren't people that wanted to engage me in conversation?
$1,000 when you got to your room, you should have known it was legit. The world's oldest profession. I'm not knocking it, but that one lady did it to me one time, and she was like a smoke show.
I got a good story about that too. I was sitting down on the slot machine and. Nice, you know, but not what you would think would be
right.
Not what you would think, right? She sits down next to me and she's just being nice and talking. And I know she was very flirty,
right?
And then it clicked, and I'm like, oh, wait a minute,
here we go.
And I told her, I said, if my wife comes around that corner right now, we're both dead.
She'll kill you.
She asked me if I was married, within 5 minutes, and I'm like, oh yeah. I said, not only am I married,
I was.
My wife's right around the corner, if she comes around this corner,
you want to bring your wife?
We're both dead.
Yeah. Oh, by the slot machine, she got some of those hookers that are using walkers because they're working like the 85-year-old guys on the slot machine, they're just coming through with low cut dresses and a walker.
The one that approached me, it was funny as hell. jail and because security balanced her in like 3 minutes. So she had evidently been banned from the property and all that. And this is BC before sending y'all the but anyway,
this is the pregame show to your story.
The pregame show to this story at the area, not the Aria. there's a lady named Sarah Richardson. Y'all, she's 33 years old, and she got herself in a little bit of trouble. All right, she is accused of stealing a guest to Las Vegas. A guest that was staying at the hotel. She stole his watch, and she hid it inside of her vagina.
Good hiding place. Right? Good hiding place.
So the Richards that was in Las Vegas to attend a court hearing on a similar theft, according to investigators. And she faces charges of grand larceny and administering a drug to aid in the commission of a felony. A man called 911 from the Aria Hotel last Sunday morning to report that a woman later identified as Richards had taken items from his room, including a $12,000 watch. The man told officers he met Richards and later invited her up to his room. The pair were engaged in some foreplay when Richards reportedly told the man he should take off his Rolex watch because she didn't want him to cut her with it. The victim ended up taking off the watch and placing it under the pillow. And as they continued, Richards kept insisting that he had more wine, which he really agreed to, right? The man felt under the pillow at some point later and noticed his watch was missing. When he confronted Richards, she went into a panic and ran out of the room. The man chased after her down the hall, down the elevator, and into the lobby where he yelled for security to stop her. Police frisked Richards but could not find the watch. However, when they checked on her background, they found she had a record for multiple similar crimes. Like we said, she's in the city to go to court for doing the same thing. Once Richards understood she was going to be arrested, she realized they would eventually find her clever hiding place for the $12,000 timepiece. She stated, they were going to find it anyway at the jails, and she didn't want to go through that hassle. That's what officers wrote in the report. And so officers impounded the watch, placed it inside a biohazard bag, and y'all, it's unclear exactly how the watch was removed. Richards took another person's watch in June and was in Las Vegas for a Monday court date for the same crime. You know what? Think about how many times she got away with it. All these times
she did the same hiding thing?
It's like a serial killer. For the ones that they catch you on, that or a burglar. The ones that like David Anthony Burns and Murder Courtney Coco had 37 arrests. Well, fuck, what about the other 1,000 times he committed crimes and didn't do it? So she didn't. She may not approach them with the angle of, give me $500 and I'll take you to your room. She just wanted to go to the room.
Yeah, I think she just picked him up. It was,
and you notice Woody doesn't wear watches.
Well, we've heard a bunch of stories about people shoving things like that into their up their butts. But this is the first one that we've had where the front compartment was used instead of the back.
I wonder. It's probably just easy for her to shove it there. Because she was already handling business and it was lubricated shit. I don't know how they know which hole it came out of.
Well, they had sex.
Well,
so
there's no sex in the champagne room.
They weren't in the champagne room. They were in his room.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder.
I don't know. But they talk about drugging him too. I don't know, but maybe she has some fentanyl. But y'all, I tell my wife all the time, take that purse off, that makes you a mark, right? I'm talking about the high dollar shit. So,
wow,
you won't get my Rolex because I don't own one. Now, Mike, he's got 5 on right now.
Yeah, he does. I need 5 watches
hanging off.
He's got a Rolex anklet.
He's got a Rolex a neck collar.
Okay, real life castle's giving me shit.
He stays at the area. Are you?
No, I stay at the wine.
The
win. How many resorts in Vegas can we mispronounce?
That was a good one.
Yeah. So, look, anyone who has any issue with the following story should take comments toward Jim, who insisted that I deliver the story today.
I'm going to go on the record and say I don't know anything about this.
Don't worry.
I don't know anything about this.
Actually, I'm just going to deliver the straight news. There's not going to be any kind of Mike's unique angle on things. I'm just going to tell you what happened. There are no royals involved. We are in the state of Minnesota where a transgender inmate is being moved to a women's prison.
Oh, my God.
And as part of a lawsuit against the Department of Corrections, this transgender woman, so biological male, transitions to a woman.
I understand what transgender.
Okay, so I'm just trying to follow the PC rules on this, Woody.
Okay.
So the PC police don't come after me.
They're coming.
Maybe I should just tell. Should I tell another college story and just fuck this? No. She sues the Department of Corrections, and in a settlement, she gets $500,000 and a vaginoplasty that they are going to perform, and then they commit to move her to a women's prison, right? So, I mean, this is somewhat similar to, you know, what we have going on with women's sports, where you've got some transgender women participating, and you know the swimmer at a Penn was probably the most prominent of these stories, and lots of battles out there in the news over this. But this is somewhat unique. I only found one other similar case as I researched this, and so it's going to be interesting to see how this person gets treated at the women's prison once they are transferred over. And so this person, whose name is Christina Lusk, who's 57 years old, was first arrested in 2018, and her sentence is through 2024. It's a felony drug offense, again, in the state of Minnesota. The state deferred her request for vaginoplasty or bottom surgery, as it is referred.
That word bothers me.
Which one?
Vaginoplasty.
So you should call it bottom surgery.
Okay.
From now on. Got that? She had undergone top surgery before going to jail, and so she was in a men's prison
But I've seen fake breasts on men in prison.
Okay, that had to come with its own unique challenges. But so she filed a grievance with the Department of Corrections. After the department medical director reviewed her case, they determined that she should not be allowed to receive the genital surgery while incarcerated. And that's when she filed the lawsuit. It obviously took a while for this to work its way
Did she want to pay for it herself, or she wanted the state to pay for it?
This $500,000 settlement is so she can get the vaginoplasty.
When she filed the lawsuit, was it because the state wouldn't pay for her to have a vaginoplasty?
Yes.
If I was in that state, I'd be burning that motherfucker down. I don't care what you do. Oh, my God. He might just show me the picture. And it looks like, what's the green org movie? Shrek. Looks like Shrek. But I don't care what you do. I don't care who you identify. I don't judge people on that bullshit. But you going to go be a prisoner and get $500,000 and get your shit taken care of?
Well, so
burn some shit down.
So the state of Minnesota has joined 10 other states and plus the District of Columbia in establishing a policy in which inmates can be transferred to facilities that match their gender identity.
Oh, my God.
Last year, a transgender woman named Demi Minor, age 27, incarcerated at a women's-only prison in New Jersey, had to be transferred to another facility because she got two other inmates pregnant. And so I guess in some cases, this is like a stunt to get put in the women's prison. In this case with Lusk, it seems to be a pretty legitimate thing that this is.
I have an idea.
Yeah.
All right. So how you make your house note next month. Jim and I don't have this problem, but we're going to arrest you, get you sent to the Department of Corrections up there, and you sue them because you want a penile implant. You want to make your penis bigger. And then you get $500,000.
You think I have a chance?
Oh, absolutely.
Because I need the procedure. I definitely need the procedure.
I'm sorry, bro. It's okay. I love you. That was wrong.
Mike tearing
vaginoplasties.
That horrible story that we just had to sit through. Now.
You can now take off that belt and move freely around the cabin.
That's right. It's our new intro.
It's a bit
mild.
Wow. Tiffany, come on.
Mike.
Talking,
you seem to like that.
Talking dirty on the plane. That voice. Wow.
Yeah. Shout out to Tiffany for helping me with the new intro. Yeah,
shout out.
And it is Mile High Crime Time.
There you go.
So look, a former American Airlines passenger has been sentenced after she assaulted two people on a plane and deployed the emergency slide.
Wow.
Cynthia McKnight, 24, was a passenger on American Airlines flight scheduled to depart Buffalo International Airport in upstate New York on April 19th of 2022. Prosecutors say McKnight from Rochester, New York, walked in front of the cabin while the plane was preparing to depart, where she got into a verbal altercation with a traveler. She also spit on a third passenger. The plane was preparing to actually take off, and the pilot was forced to return based on the passenger's unruly behavior. Chief of Police Brian Patterson at the time said there was an attempt to calm her down. That attempt failed, at which point she opened the emergency exit door. Furthermore, McKnight attempted to open the emergency door while the plane was in motion.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, she did. Prosecutors say McKnight also pushed a flight attendant who tried to stop her once the door was open. The emergency slide automatically deployed. After she exited the aircraft, McKnight was combative and spit on the officers and ultimately needed to be restrained. And Woody, is there anything worse than getting spit on?
No.
Several agencies have been involved in this case. On the transit side, charges were filed for a litany of offenses, Patterson said at the time. McKnight was ultimately convicted this past week to simple assault in the special aircraft jurisdiction of the United States. A district judge sentenced her to time served and 3 years probation.
Crazy. And guess what else she's got? She'll now forever be labeled in the NCIC as a spitter.
Yeah,
no, for real. That's the real deal, because we were going to serve a search warrant on a guy one time that he was a known spitter in his criminal history. So when we went there, we duct taped his whole head.
Well, that's your mile high crime.
Mile high.
Well, at least the door didn't open in flight like it did in that other story last week.
Freely around the cabin.
Thank you, Jeff.
Yeah. All right. Authorities arrested a Tennessee woman accused of trying to hire a hitman to murder the wife of a man she met on an online dating website. And according to the criminal complaint, Melody Sasser used the dark web to visit online killer's market. Not like the one we talk about.
What was that? Hireahitman.com? Rentahitman.com? That was in Tennessee, too. That was Nashville, too.
Online killer's market, a website that touts hitman for hire service using the username Kettree. She allegedly placed nearly a $10,000 order to have the spouse of a man she had previously met on Match.com murdered. She's full of the social media stuff. Well, not social, but internet stuff. It needs to seem random or accidental or plant drugs. Do not want a long investigation. She recently moved in with her new husband. The murder for hire request reads in part, per the complaint, the intended target of Sasser's alleged plan to have her killed. I messed up. Sorry. Boom, Jim. Authorities allege Sessa was monitoring the whereabouts of the victim and her husband through a fitness app on their Garmin watches. Damn, she's all over the place, right? Tech savvy. According to court documents, after Sessa allegedly placed her initial order on January 11th of 2023, she sent a follow-up message to the site administrator in March complaining about how long it was taking to have the woman killed.
Unbelievable.
I have waited for 2 months and 11 days.
Can't you see though, it comes up, how can we help you? Well, I ordered the hit 2 months ago. What the hell's going on?
She said, I've waited 2 months and 11 days for the job and it's not completed. And so anyway, she faces a murder charge for hire and she's going to prison. So,
I have to check out this site too. So how
you
can this?
You got to go to the darkness. You don't even know how to get to the darkness,
dude. I go to.
You got an onion router.
But this is two different hire a hitman like sites in Nashville.
Yeah, but one was a joke. This one was for real.
Was one a joke? Well,
the other one was a parody.
But. And it was on the regular internet.
This is on the dark net. You have to use the onion router and everything to get into it. And guess what? The government still monitors it.
Yeah. So leaving the credit card and the $10,000.
Yeah, but she complained, though.
Okay, we are spanning the globe today.
There we go.
Spanning the globe. South Korea. They're obsessed with true crime stories in South Korea as well. Mm-hmm. And one particular person got a little bit too obsessive. A young crime obsessive girl has confessed to killing and dismembering another woman. She murdered her victim out of curiosity to see what it was like, according to South Korean police. Police in the southern city of Busan said the woman who was arrested Wednesday was engrossed in crime stories and wanted to see what murder would be like for real. Young Yu Young, age 23, has confessed to the murder of an unnamed freelance tutor and was indicted for the crime on Friday. This story is her strategy here is pretty unique. The young crime story fanatic had previously told police she killed her victim following an argument, but officers soon found contradictions in her story. After being urged by her family to tell the truth, Young confessed to police. Authorities confirmed they were conducting tests to determine whether Young is considered a psychopath or not. Young was found to have premeditated the crime, driven by a desire to kill someone after she became obsessed with murder from TV programs and books. A Busan police spokesperson said Young also said she feels sorry for what she did. We are conducting tests to see if she is a psychopath. Well, it's nice that she said she was sorry. After gathering evidence, authorities believe the murder and dismemberment were carefully planned. Police said Young's phone records show she had spent the previous 3 months scouring the internet for tips on how to hide a dead body. That doesn't sound like careful planning to me. But police also believe she used crime novels and television programs as research. Young's library record shows she borrowed a number of crime stories in the months before. Young found her victim using an app for private tutors to connect with parents. So she posed as the mother of a school child wanting her daughter to learn English. I would have recommended Rosetta Stone as a much better path.
Right.
They both agreed that the daughter could come to the tutor's house for a consultation 2 days later. Young then bought a school uniform online so she could pose as the fake daughter. Once she entered the victim's home, she stabbed her with a knife. Police said Young is short, and with the uniform on, the victim probably easily took her for a middle school student. Having planned out the crime, police said Young visited a nearby supermarket where she bought rolls of large bin bags and bottles of bleach. The real-life crime Daily iTeam was very disappointed to learn that South Korea no longer has a death penalty. So we were so looking forward to the Pulp Fiction style samurai sword treatment for Young, but apparently she is going to just go to jail for life.
Yeah, we'll shove her across the border and the Chinese will get everyone in the head.
Yeah.
The North Koreans take her out with the samurai as well. Wow. That is a crazy freaking story. Well,
I wonder if she's a fan of the show.
Look, we've got an update out of Texas. And we brought you a story, Woody, it's probably been a month or so, about the Texas cheerleaders that were shot.
She tried the wrong handle on a car.
Yeah, yes. One of the cheerleaders who was shot after accidentally getting in the wrong car has spoken out on the ordeal. So Peyton Washington, 18, sat down with Good Morning America co-anchor Michael Strahan this week. So we're going to play a clip. And Strahan does a really good job of getting some of these details out of the incident from Washington, and here's that.
Just over 6 weeks ago, you were shot 3 times. Is that hard to believe?
I don't even know. It's kind of unreal, but I'm just trying to do whatever I can to be normal and do everything a senior in high school would do.
Tell me what you remember.
I was actually texting and eating Twizzlers. Like,
you're being a teenager.
Exactly.
That's when the unimaginable happened.
When I heard the first shot, I had turned immediately with my blanket. I didn't know where it was coming from or anything, but it being so loud that my ears were ringing, like, I knew to turn and do something.
Were you afraid when he approached your car?
I didn't see him, honestly. I was still looking at my phone, and I heard in the background what was happening, but I didn't think it was going to be as big of a deal as it was.
Roth says the stranger pulled out a gun and began firing multiple shots. The cheerleaders driving off, fleeing the scene, trying to get to safety.
We were trying to get away as fast as we could. All the other girls were screaming. I really was just telling myself to breathe. It was hard to breathe because of my diaphragm.
Just 5 weeks after being shot, Washington joined her friends at graduation. The 5.1 GPA National Honor Student is committed to getting her life back.
There are so many people out there who maybe this is the first time they're seeing your story. Mm-hmm. What do you want them to know about you and your story?
You can literally do anything. If you push and you persevere, don't doubt yourself ever, because you can do anything as long as you're putting your 120% into it.
So there you go. Obviously, she's doing a lot better.
I knew there was going to be an update on that. Good story.
Uh-oh. There's what we want to hear. What are you ever doing? Must be time to get kinky.
Kinky crimes for Wednesday, y'all. And there were two women riding in a red Mustang who made a trucker's day after they stripped and showed off their butts and boobs. However, it ended up with them in handcuffs. A video shows the two women driving in a red Mustang on the interstate, and the woman in the passenger seat took off her trousers before standing up and wiggling her butt at the truck, which was driving behind them. The man in the truck can be heard to say, "Oh, shit." Then the two women start kissing each other. The passenger then whips off her top before turning around and giving the driver an eyeful. The truck driver can then be heard to say, "They're getting naked. I got every bit of that shit." The footage then cuts to the trucker overtaking the Mustang, in which both women are naked and laughing as he passes. However, shortly after he passed, they were pulled over by an Arkansas state trooper who cited them for indecent exposure and dangerous operation of a motor vehicle. And that's what Jim calls a little highway delight.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So, and there actually is a video of that, y'all.
Yeah. And
hey, when you're doing this for truckers, and I'm not saying they have any experience, do you realize they have radios and they're gonna tell every trucker within 100-mile vicinity to look at these vehicle kinky crimes from Wednesday? Banjo time.
It is banjo time. We're going to go to Oklahoma. You know, have we had a counterfeiting story? No, maybe we
I think somebody got, I did one where somebody got arrested and they had drugs and counterfeit money or whatever.
We haven't done a dumb counterfeit story, though. So this would be the inaugural dumb counterfeit story. So a man was booked into the Oklahoma detention center after a chaotic incident at a South Oklahoma City restaurant over the weekend. "I feel horrible about the situation," said Juan Garcia, the restaurant's manager. "We're just trying to make a living here, just trying to get by." Garcia said everything started off normally when Dakota Barton and a blonde woman initially came into the restaurant. They ordered, they ate, they drank, they left their tab on the table. "No big deal," said Garcia. "People do it all the time." However, when Garcia went to get the money the couple left on the table, they had a $41.82 check. He noticed the $100 bill they left was obviously a fake. Right. "It was counterfeit money based on the markings on it and what it read," said Sergeant Dylan Quirk, who's with the Oklahoma City Police Department. "The bill had the words, quote, 'for motion picture' written on it." Wow. Garcia ran outside after the couple, asking them to pay with real money. They refused to, and they took off running across the street. Garcia said the ordeal eventually escalated when he ran after the couple and Barton allegedly punched him in the face, punched Garcia. Nice. After two or three punches to the face, Garcia said, it just kind of surprised us the extent, you know, to which they would go on this thing. Police said the woman took off, but authorities rushed to the scene and were able to arrest Barton. Police arrived, took the suspect into custody, said Quirk, and fentanyl was located on his person. So imagine he may that. Have been in a little bit of a fentanyl-induced state when he tried to put down the four motion picture bill. So somehow this guy in Oklahoma, maybe they were close to the set of Tulsa King, where Stallone had those fake $100 bills and had scooped a couple of them up. But chances are, if it says for motion picture, no, on
they
bill,
can't use the
somebody's
set.
Not going to take
they're
that.
Usually on counterfeit, in a case like that, they'll be like, "Well, I didn't know it was counterfeit, right?" Mm-hmm. But it says.
This was not.
You're a dumb criminal.
This was Monopoly money.
Yeah, and it had a bad big picture of Stallone in the middle of it. So it's probably.
There it is. Another episode. In the books, people.
Love and appreciate each and every one of y'all. Again, our condolences and prayers for Corporal Sean Kelly and his family and everybody that loves him and knew him. We appreciate everyone. Thank you for liking and sharing, and please continue to do so. And
until next time, I'm Jim Chapman.
I'm Woody Overton.
And I'm Mike Agavino.
For Real Life, Real Crime Daily. Peace.
Shabusiness.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.